getting the children situated. Hopefully some of those that went to the back will come back. I don't think we need that many teachers back there today, but if they've got a word from God, well, more power to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, y'all have a happy Valentine. Yeah. Just a same old, isn't it? Every year. It's an expensive one for me. I've got our anniversary in February, my wife's birthday, Valentine's Day, and my youngest son's birthday. And man, I tell you what, that's just about as expensive as Christmas when it comes trying to buy all the presents and stuff of that. But anyway, I'm blessed, and I'm not griping. Amen. I've been kind of just mentioning the word truth throughout the worship this morning. And one of the things that I think just really destroys us as Christians is that we don't know the truth, first of all, and we've received a bunch of junk that has nothing to do with the Word of God, but it sounds good. And so this morning we're going to talk a little bit about truth. I can't, speak everything this morning about truth. But one of the most important things that I feel like God is confronting us with this year is the truth of His Word, that we know the truth of the Word, that we walk in the truth of the Word. We're to see the truth as God has presented it. We need to learn to believe the truth. And then we need to change what we thought was true is not. We need to recognize it and we need to change it in this year of 2015. It'll make a whole lot of difference in your life, if you will. And it'll also make your walk with the Lord a lot easier. In fact, it'll even help you like Mike was talking about, that you need more boldness. And when you understand how God wants you to represent His kingdom in this earth, you won't mind being bold, okay? We can be bold about so many things in our just fleshly, earthly life, but we're afraid to step out and be bold for Jesus. What if Jesus wasn't bold enough to crawl on that cross? You and I'd be in hot water today with no eternal future. Amen? So let's encourage ourselves to be bold this year as well. Now, we started off this year, and actually in the end of last year, where God has been confronting us about stepping into His kingdom and begin to learn how to minister the kingdom of God to the people around us, whether they be family members or friends or work people that we're around every day, or just a lost world out here that, you know, we don't even know. And we've got to see this as truth that God is revealing to us. And then we've got to step into this truth. Don't just receive it and then lay it aside, you know, a day or two later. You and I are candidates in this church for a spiritual awakening. God's going to do it. And we need to be doing everything that we can to welcome that spiritual awakening into this church. How many of you need some refreshing in your life? Yeah, we all do. It seems like each year it gets worse, you know, the pressures that are upon us. And a part of all spiritual awakenings is also renewal, where your relationship with God is renewed. And we really need that too. You know, even those who come to church every Sunday, we still need renewal in our lives, okay? Praise God. All right, so we're going to start off in Ecclesiastes. Now, where is that, Pastor? It's in the Bible. I'll give you another hint. It's in the Old Testament. Huh? Right after Proverbs, okay? So y'all don't really have to find it if you don't want to, because Jesse's going to put the information up here. But that's another thing. You need to know where the books of the Bible are. Because a lot of times the Spirit of God will just, you know, impress you with a book, chapter, and verse in the Word. And if you don't know where it's at, well, you'll spend a lot of time trying to find it. So make yourself familiar with the Word of God this year, okay? Now, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Golly, where's my red marker? I mean, I got to put some F's down here. Who wrote it? Any ventures? Y'all, I know y'all going to find it, and then you're going to tell me. Well, I'll foil your search. Solomon wrote it. Okay? King Solomon wrote it. He, of course, Solomon was King David's oldest son. And how many of you know that Solomon was also supernaturally filled with the wisdom of God? So when you're reading the things that Solomon wrote, you have to remember these are things from God, okay? And also you're going to see how they impacted Solomon at first. But the tragedy of Solomon is he was so smart, and he had so much that God poured into him that he began to eventually stray away from God. And he became involved in the pleasures of the world. Just like we can do if we're not careful, okay? And think about it, this guy was smart with God's wisdom. I mean, most of us are smart with the world's wisdom, but golly, you know, he should have paid attention, I guess. I don't know what to say. But anyway, we're going to talk about him, and because he did know what he was talking about when it came to the kingdom of God. Solomon was not impressed with the ways of the world or the life of the people of the world. And he wrote 11 chapters in this book of Ecclesiastes, and he was expressing his concerns and his disappointments in the world itself. But he finally came down to a conclusion. And the conclusion that he came to has to do with what I want to talk about this morning, and that's focusing our perspective on God's truth. Listen to what he wrote, and this is going to be out of the Amplified Version of the Bible. But in Ecclesiastes, I don't know, did I put the chapter down? 12, okay. And verse 12. Out of the Amplified. But about going further, my son, be warned of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Now that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? What's he telling us? Well, the first part about going further, making many books there is no end. Basically, what he's saying here is do not believe everything you read outside of the Word of God. And let me tell you, there are tons and tons and tons of Christian authors and books and tapes and all this stuff that are out there. And I'm here to tell you they're not all 100% God's Word. And so you have to know the Word in order, when you're reading these, you can find the difference and protect yourself from false doctrines and stuff. And then he says, much study is a weariness of the flesh. It is when you're not studying God's word. When you're studying everything else, it can become a weariness to the flesh. But when you're studying the word of God, folks, it is life to you. It is your daily bread, Scripture says. And so we need to look at it that way. You know, if you're hungry for something to read or whatever, go to the word, because you're going to come away from there filled and you know, ready to live life. And then he goes on in verse 13, and he says, all has been heard. The end matter is fear God. And out of the Amplified, it says, revere and worship him, knowing that God is. And keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man, the full original purpose of his creation, the object of God's plan, the root of character, the foundations of all happiness, the adjustment to all circumstances that are caused being out of harmony and conditions under the sun, and the whole duty of every man. That's a lot of words, isn't it? But if you'll meditate on that, the Spirit of God will show you some things that Solomon saw. And it strictly has to do with the conclusions that you can come to while reading the Word of God. But there's a duty of every man that he's talking about here. And in verse 14 it says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. Do you understand that? Everything you do, you're going to be judged for good or for evil. Okay? So be careful what you do. You know, you can't just go on a rampant tear, you know, and just do whatever you want to do. Because, you know, whether we can put this into our little bitty pea brain, God is keeping track of everything. Okay? And, you know, we've been forgiven of our sin, yes. But there's a lot of things that we can get involved in that may not be sin, but they're not fruitful for the kingdom. So these are the kind of things that God, you know, looks at. For God, in verse 14, for God shall bring every work unto judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. You can hide things from your mate. You can hide things from your children or your friends or your coworkers, but you can't hide things from God. And man, do we need a refresher course on that in this day and age that we're living in. I mean, the television just by itself is so full of garbage. And we shouldn't even be lingering to see what that particular channel is wanting to present to us. If it's not a good, wholesome program, then we have no business even watching it. And don't fall into what a lot of religious people can fall into by saying, oh, well, I need to watch it so that I can understand it, so that I can help other people not go there. All you're going to do is pervert your own mind, okay? So for whatever you meditate on in your mind is what you're going to become, okay? And Solomon, you know, Solomon is talking about all this. He understands all of this, even though he himself would one day fall. So laying all traditions of religion, deception, selfish programs and agendas aside, this is the purpose for your individual life. And for y'all who have never figured out what your purpose in life is, this is it. And you can even write it down, put it on your refrigerator to remind you. Fear God. That's the big one. Fear God. And the second one is obey His commandments. Obey His commandments. The third one is know that you are going to be judged for everything you do, whether good or for evil. Know that you're going to be judged for everything you do, whether for good or for evil. Now, let's look at fear God first. In order to fear God, you have to know God. Because most people who don't know God, they don't fear God anyway. But when we get in the Word of God and we begin to develop an intimate relationship with God, we're going to learn to fear Him. He is an awesome God, you know, and we like to look at the sweet side of God, and He is. He's full of grace and mercy and peace and love and joy, and He's such an awesome God who loves us so much. But He's also a righteous judge, and we cannot forget that. And I think this is where so many people get messed up. They want the loving side of the Father, but they forget that God is going to stand in righteous judgment one day. And so we need to be careful. And the way that we can be careful is to know God, everything about Him, and how we can walk with God on a day-to-day basis. Entering into a daily relationship with Him through worship and prayer is one of the best ways to come to know God. You're reading the Word, you're meditating on the Word, you're worshiping God, you're praising God, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that you separate yourself for all day long every day and do this. You'd be surprised at what God can pour into you in a matter of minutes if you'll just offer up that time frame or that block of time to Him. And He'll take it and He'll use it for a godly purpose in your life. The Word says that when we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And this is all inclusive in a part of getting to know God. When you worship Him in spirit and in truth, you learn how to not only talk to God, but you learn how to listen to God. And there's so many Christians that they are very great in talking to God. And I might replace that word talking with telling God. Because we like to tell God what we expect, okay? But no, we need to learn how to talk to God. And then we need to learn how to be quiet and listen to God and see what God has to say. And most Christians today don't spend any time listening to what the Father is saying. You meditate in His Word day and night, according to the psalmist. Day and night. Which tells me that God is going to take care of your time if you commit that time to Him. When we talk about day and night, it doesn't necessarily mean that God wants the whole 24 hours for you to meditate, okay? But I tell you what, I can read a few verses in the morning, and all through the day, you know, threaded through the day, I meditate on those words. And they teach me great things, okay? And so you can do the same. Every one of us has a job we have to do. But even in that job, we can meditate on the Word of God. You know, we're to hide that Word in our heart that we might not sin against God. And that's what it's all about. It's there to meditate on, to encourage us, and to keep us walking the right path, so to speak. Now, another one, a part of fearing God is believing the wrong things. Believing the wrong things. We think we've heard something, and it has probably been in church, and we heard it, and we believe it, and we believe that it's gospel. Okay? And to me, one of the primary things that I like to use in this is the phrase, once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. First of all, that statement is not in the Bible. Now, others have read the Bible and come up with this opinion. But I'm one, when it has to do with something as important as my salvation, I want to know what God said, not what somebody put together, or even in the Word of God, like the Amplified. You know, those are men's interpretation of what the Scripture is saying. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good. And again, you have to know the Word of God to figure out what you can receive and what you cannot receive. But once saved, always saved does not invoke the fear of the Lord into your spirit. It does not invoke the fear of the Lord in your spirit. And people, you know, people develop this mentality, oh, well, I'm saved. I got my fire insurance into heaven, so I can go live like I want to live and do whatever I want to do. That's not in the Scripture either. God has called us to do certain things with our salvation. Things like work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Well, we don't want to hear that because it scares me. Well, you better get scared and hope that it'll save your life, your eternal life. Because you cannot live on this stuff that people will tell you about if you don't know the truth. Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that's exactly what he meant. It has nothing to do with, oh, you got saved and you'll be saved forever. He's just saying, you know, you walk it out day by day, by day, by day. And when you have that intimate relationship with God concerning your salvation and just the relationship itself, then you're not going to have to worry about where you are with God. But these people that bounce in and out, I'm saved today and I'm back in the world tomorrow. Saved tomorrow and back in the world today. Or whatever, you know. I'm saying we, I don't want to be included in that. People live like that. And they call themselves Christians. And you see, when you have let things like this influence you, you develop a passive attitude towards your Creator, the God who created you. Another one, depart from me, I never knew you. That's in Scripture. So apparently whoever that was thought they were and they weren't. Wouldn't you think so? Y'all are too solemn. This is life, folks. Another one, your name will be removed from the book of life. People never stop and think about God can remove your name from the book of life for reasons that belong to Him, His reasons, not yours. So this ought to bring us to a place in life where we habitually pursue truth, the truth of God's Word. Not only to learn how to fear God, but to protect ourselves. Amen? You see, there should have been a big amen there, because that's what it's all about. You and God in such a relationship that you don't have to worry about your eternal security. You just know that you're in good shape. Okay? Now, these are the things that will cause you to learn how to fear God. And this is the main thing that God has told all of us, that we are to learn to fear Him. To fear Him. They're truths. And all of these truths are rooted in God's Word. So we need to know them. And if you don't know the Word, if you don't know Him, it's because you've missed it. He's the living Word. And if you don't know him, you don't know the word. Amen? And that's why it's so important that we have that relationship with him. So in 2015, we as individuals in this church are going to have to develop that relationship with him and then lay aside your selfish needs and ambitions and focus your perspective on him and his truth. For he is truth with a capital T. Okay? Now, the next one is obey his commandments. Obey his commandments. And we are the most complex beings that God ever created. If you're ever in a relationship long enough, you'll see how complex we really are. Amen? That's why we got so many divorces. Because complex people don't know how to learn to love one another. But we, you know, as far as God is concerned, God has given us a choice, or what we call a will. God has left everything up to you as far as obeying him. You can obey him or you can disobey him. You can choose life or you can choose death. It's your choice. You can choose light or you can choose darkness. You can choose service or you can choose selfishness. And God's left all of this up to you and me. It's our responsibility where we're going to stand. But by all rights, your Creator can issue commands that you are to follow. And God has certainly done this. Even in the New Testament, there are commands that Jesus spoke, and they came from the Father. And your response dictates how your life is going to go here on this earth. Okay? You understand that? One of the commands in the New Testament and the Old Testament was love the Lord your God. Love him. Have a relationship with him. And for Christians who are not doing that, you're disobeying God's word. What he wants for your life, you're not doing. Now, God has written these laws and statutes or commandments, whatever you want to call them. And he says in the Old Testament, and I hadn't found any place where it's changed, but he says in the Old Testament that if you obey the commandments and the statutes of God, and these are found in the book of Deuteronomy, that your days will be prolonged. Your days will be prolonged. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have a 26-hour day, but it means that your life is going to be prolonged. Understand that? I've already lived longer than I ever thought I would. I mean, seriously. I never thought I'd live to be 71 years old and didn't necessarily plan on living to be this old. But here I am. And it's all because of God's favor. You know, I've tried to do my very best with him in the relationship I have. But he also gives another promise that says it will go well with you if you obey him. Well, how would you like to be in that circle? Knowing that God's going to just make good things happen to you. And once again, Colleen and I both, you know, we've just had so many good things happen. It seems like the older we get, the more we have. Because we choose to obey God. We fear God. And we want to be where God is in relationship. Amen? So, how many of you would like 1 year that you had the assurance that it was going to go well with you, for you? Wouldn't that be a good year? Well, you can have it simply by obeying God. And the same thing with having your life prolonged. You just have to learn how to obey Him. And these good things are going to just flow into your life. And it's not necessarily that you say, okay, starting today, I'm going to obey God in everything. And God, I want this. And give Him your Christmas list. No, that's not the way God works. But you will have great things happen to you because they're going to come from God, and no one knows you any better than God does. Amen? He knows your heart even. So He's going to openly reward you with things because of your commitment to Him. And then when you get all of this stuff together, then you simply just do what God says to do, period. No whining, no complaining, just do it. And one of the things that we've been hammering away since the first of the year is something that God wants you to do. And that is to go beyond your fears, go beyond your limitations that you've put on yourself, and get out there and begin to share Jesus with people. Amen. God wants that. Now, I can't find where it's a command, and it may still be in there, the way it might be phrased. But this is the heart of God. For God so loved the world that He gave Jesus. And if God was willing to let His Son go through what He went through for you and for me, and then to discover that it was also for the world, He wants the world saved too. I mean, you and I were a part of the world out there. Just, you know, I don't know what age you were, but the older you got, the worse you became. And somebody somewhere along the way shared the gospel of Jesus with you. And you believed it. And you entered into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And God's desire is that continues to flow through us to touch the lives of people around us. Amen? Now we're getting weaker. Amen. All right. One of the major purposes then of God is to separate you. And what He separates you from is other gods. And I know your little mind's just a twirling there. Well, I don't have any other gods in my life. And the sad truth is, we do. And God wants them out. He doesn't want us to have any other gods in our life. I mean, you know, just like being here today, we could all stand up and proclaim that there's only one God and there's none like You, O Lord. And we believe that. And that's good. That's a good thing, good, wholesome thing to believe. But Let me question you a little bit, and let's see what we come up with. And you don't need to raise your hands because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but how many of you love to give? A few shaking their heads and a few counting spots on the ceiling. How many of you like to receive? Oh, the hand go up. In spite of what you said, Pastor, we'd love to receive. Well, this is an indicator of a strange and different God at work in your life. And you know why I call it a God? Because there's a controlling factor there that prevents you from freely giving. What did Jesus say about giving? That's right. Got that? And then we're also under the influence of God's law of sowing and reaping. And nowhere has God demanded that we give. It's a statement by Jesus, yes, but He didn't, I command you, okay? one of those issues that was left up to us. But we're going to get to one here in a minute that he does command. And we'll get there in just a second. But you see, you have to sow before you can receive. I mean, that's just a plain, simple law of God, whether it has to do with money, whether it has to do with farming, whether it has to do with love, whatever. You have to give in order to get back. That's just the way it is, the way God planned it. And God's way is giving, or God wants us to stand in that place of giving to God what belongs to him. Now, what belongs to God? The tithe. What did God say about the tithe? Yeah. But the first thing he said was, bring ye the tithe into the storehouse. Didn't say, I sure hope y'all give me when you get paid that you bring it. And it sure would just bless me if you'd honor me that way. No, he says, it's like a command. Bring, in other words, you bring it. You bring the tithe into the storehouse. And then we can get into that old argument. It's about 2,000 years old. Well, where's the storeroom, Pastor? Well, what difference does it make where the storeroom is? The thing is, you come and you bring it to God in church. And whatever God chooses to do with it, that's his business. You know, we give it because he's asked us to. And then after that, it's no longer our affair. So, do you understand that? And there's a God or demonic influence that can get into our lives where we won't even try to understand the tithe. Because we don't want to do it. And we don't do anything about giving anybody anything because we don't want to do it. And so we need to set ourselves free the way that God will set us free. And just allow God's word to work through us no matter what it is, no matter what it says. So, fearing God is something that God has called us to do, obeying his commandments and statutes. All right? And many Christians don't do this. They don't do it. They have never caught the revelation of giving because they love the money, and the money has become a demonic influence or a god in their personal life. And remember what Jesus said. He says, you can't serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other. And you cannot serve God and mammon or the love of money. So these are the things of God. These are truths in God's word. That we can't just approach it and say, well, I don't want to believe that. And God's going to hold us responsible one day. Okay? If you get angry, if you get upset at these verses, then you have an area in your life that God wants to deliver you from. Pure and simple. And he can set you free from it. And if you're not a tither or a giver God's way, then you will never, never really understand how much God really loves you. Amen? God loves you in so many ways. But you bind his hands when you don't obey. God has provided a way that if you walk in that way, that you'll always, always, always have provision for you and your family. Do you understand that? And, I discovered the truth about tithing way before I ever became a pastor. And, there are people right here in this church that can give you testimony after testimony of what God has done, because they've lined up with God's word in their giving. And it becomes such a blessing. And to me, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was when I discovered I can't outgive God. I can't. I mean, everything I try to do to show I'm going to do it better, well, God just shows me, no, he's better. And that's the way to be, you know. Always challenging God. Hallelujah. All right. If you don't walk in this way, though, let me tell you, you're always going to have lack. There's always going to be something that's there to drain your finances. And it's just a quick way to get past that is just obey God. And so you see, another truth that we're talking about, and it's time to wake up to the revelation that's in this truth and begin to practice or put into practice what God is saying to you personally in this year. Obey the tithe. Give God what belongs to him. That's what Jesus did. And I told you there was a command that Jesus brought forth about giving, and it was when Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's. Okay? So we're bound by command on our giving. And if you don't think that there's a penalty in giving, we're getting close to the income tax time. And if you owe IRS money, just don't give it to them and see what you find out. You see, that's a law in giving. It's not God's law necessarily, but our nation established that law, and we've either got to pay it up or suffer the consequences. And it's the same with God's law. You know, he has set it in concrete, and we need to obey it. Now, the day's coming, and I hope that you get glimpses of what is coming. But the day is coming when you will not be able to depend on the government or even your ability to earn money to meet the needs for you and your family. And you say, well, you know, you don't know. Well, wake up and start looking at what's going on around us and tell me I don't know. I just renewed a CD that in 2008 I received 3.55% interest. And when I renewed it the other day, I mean, it wasn't even worth the papers written on. A half of a percentage. And you know, the government is robbing us of our money under false pretenses, as far as I'm concerned. And yet we don't seem to be able to do anything about it. And these types of things are going to get worse and worse. And you just hide and watch. And hopefully I won't be here when all this comes down. But if I'm not, you just remember old pastor. I remember him talking about that. He said that. And I hope you've done things with God to set yourself and establish yourself so that it will go well with you in those times. Amen? All right. Finally, purpose to do that which is good. Make up your mind. Every opportunity I get, I'm going to do something that's good. And believe me, every week is full of opportunities. You just have to look at them and recognize them and do what you can. Amen? I find the easiest places to minister to people is either an HEB or Walmart or one of the stores. And at least once a week, you know, I've noticed that people come up there to pay their bill and they don't have enough money. Of course, Walmart being the great Samaritan that they are, they just take the product back. But, you know, what's it going to hurt you to say, wait a minute, I can pay for that. And just shell out $2, $3, $4, $10, whatever it is, and pay for it. And you're being a blessing. And that person is going to see Jesus in you. And who knows what it might open up in conversation. So these are just, I mean, one simple little thing that you can do that not only will prosper you, but will open up a doorway to share Jesus with someone. And so don't miss these opportunities. Take on the heart of a servant this year. And, you know, and everything else God is calling us to do this year, just take on that heart of a servant. Lay aside all of your selfishness and your agenda for life and just begin to lay up those treasures in heaven instead of, you know, just blowing them down here on what you want. And if you do, those things you store up in heaven, the scripture says, they're not going to rust or corrode. Amen. And that doesn't mean that you're going to get up there and find that God's been paying interest and your little 40 cents that you saved had grown into a million because you're not going to need any money up there. Amen? But God's going to supply in so many other ways when you get to heaven that it'll just blow your mind. Jesus also said that we will be judged by every word that comes out of our mouth, whether good or evil. So what's that tell us? Watch what you say. Be careful what you're saying to other people. And Paul said that by our very works we will be judged, and it will be judged by fire. So we need to be careful of what we do. Amen? Be careful what we do, and be careful what the motive of our heart is. That's so important in where we're at with God right now. So, If you disobey God, there's a penalty to be paid. And let's just get in the right relationship with God where we not only learn what God has commanded, but learn to walk in obedience to those commands. Okay? Okay? Amen. All right. I think about 10 minutes to 12, I need to get y'all up and run around the room a couple of laps and get your blood pumping so you can hear. Amen. All right. I'm just going to close with a brief statement about something that fits right into here. And one of the things that God has given you is how to live your life. And it's in the Word of God. All you have to do is find it. Now, me being the loving pastor that I am. Yes. Hey. Amen. I've taken the opportunity to look this up for you. And so you're going to have the opportunity to study and meditate on who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, some of you are also saying, well, Pastor, you gave us something here not too long ago. Yeah, but I'm not seeing any fruit. I want to see fruit, and God wants to see the fruit. Amen? So, Hannah's passing out. I'm sure there's more, but this is all I can find. And you know, once a day, it won't take 5 minutes for you to read this out loud to yourself. And the reason you read it out loud to yourself is because you need to hear who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So let's stand together. We in unison? Amen. We in agreement? All right. We're going to go through every one of these out loud. Okay? And I'll start and you just read it with me. Don't wait for a pause because there's not going to be a pause. All right? All right, here we go. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am loved. I am accepted by the beloved. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am blessed in the city and I am blessed in the country. I am the head and not the tail. I sit high above all the nations. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am overtaken with blessings. I am blessed going in and going out. I am holy as He is holy. I am prosperous. I have healed by His stripes. I am equipped for every good work. I have love. I have the mind of Christ. I am more than a conqueror. I am a priest and a king. I am a joint heir with Jesus. I am chosen and set apart. I have the keys to the kingdom. I have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. The gates of hell shall not prevail against me. As Jesus is in the world, so am I. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. My life is not my own. I have been bought with a price. Amen. Amen.